is the Scripture Driven Church broadcast, brought to you by Teaching the Word Ministries. The Church of Jesus Christ must be the Scripture Driven Church, relying on God's inspired and inerrant Word as our sole authority and our infallible critic in every area of life and ministry. And now, here's author, Bible teacher, and Teaching the Word president, Dr. Paul Elliott, to introduce today's program.
In Psalm 119, verse 18, the psalmist prays to the Lord, "Open my eyes, that I might see wondrous things from your law." What does it mean for God to open your eyes, so that you can behold wondrous things in His written word, the Bible? What does God want you to see? How does He want you to see it? What does God want you to do about what you see in His Word? Today we present the third and final segment of a message dealing with these vital questions, and I invite you to turn in your Bible to Psalm 119. We also apologize once again for the slight audio distortion in parts of today's message, which was recorded in a live church service. But we trust that the Holy Spirit will focus your thoughts on the Word of Truth that is being proclaimed today. Once again, the theme verse of this message is Psalm 119, verse 18. "Open my eyes, that I might see wondrous things from your law." As the psalmist first of all emphasized, "Open my eyes," he secondly, in the context of the original language, emphasizes, "It's your law, Lord. It's your law." The ownership of this law is in the psalmist's mind as he's writing these words, as he's praying this petition to God. This is God's law. It emanates from God's mind, from God's being, not from the mind and from the being of man. It's not from the mind of the natural man. It's from the holy God of the universe. And this phrase in the original is also a phrase that emphasizes the fact that God's law, God's word, is a written word. Literally, in the original, it reads, "Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your written law." A written body of instruction given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, forever settled in heaven, as the psalmist says later in this very psalm. Unchanging, unchangeable, because it is exactly like its author and owner, the holy God of the universe. "From your law," the psalmist says. The third emphasis in the words is that what God reveals in His law and what God teaches from His law is a matter of facts and certainty and not subjective opinion. That's also in the word in the original. That's what's behind it. Now let me again relate the facts that we've seen about the law of God to this horrible sin that our government has plunged us further into. When man makes laws that are in keeping with God's law, he makes laws that act to restrain sin in this present world. That's the purpose of legitimate, righteous civil law, to restrain evil in this world. When man makes laws that are contrary to God's law, man increases his condemnation before God. And that's the position in which we as a nation now find ourselves. Let me give you a brief history lesson about the United States of America in relation to the law of God. In 1902, Theodore Roosevelt was the last president of the United States to speak of the direct intervention of God against a nation who forgets His law. 113 years ago, that was the last time a president of the United States spoke in those terms. Theodore Roosevelt put it this way, and I'm quoting, he said, "God intervenes against nations.
When the hand of the Lord is heavy upon a nation in drought or flood or pestilence, when, in bodily distress and in anguish of soul, the nation pays the penalty of folly and a habitually disobedient heart. Franklin Roosevelt, during the Second World War, was the last president to mention the law of God as the nation's standard in a presidential statement. And the last president of the United States to call upon America to bow before God in contrition for our sins. That is the phrase that he used. That was Dwight Eisenhower, 1953, 62 years ago. Now, the best evidence that we have is that none of these three men were Christian believers. I think you actually have to go back further than that to find men who were truly regenerated Christians. In fact, I think the last one, by the way, may have been Grover Cleveland. He had a clear testimony of faith in Christ. These men weren't believers. Teddy Roosevelt, Franklin Roosevelt, Dwight Eisenhower. But they were brought up reading the Bible. At least they understood that much of God's Word. But since 1973 in particular, our courts, our legislatures, our government as a whole have increasingly made laws that are contrary to God's law. Laws and court rulings that are plunging this nation further and further into sinful horrors that would have been unimaginable when I was a kid. You know, I used to think when I was younger, and I'm sure some of you who are my age can relate to this, the big fear in the Bible-believing church back in those days was communism. And the big fear was that there would be a communist takeover in America and that preachers of the gospel would find themselves under persecution and even in prison simply for opposing atheistic communism. Never, I don't think, in any of the wildest imaginations of the church when I was a kid, would it have ever been thought that we would face the prospect of a Christian pastor going to jail because he won't marry two men or two women. But that's coming. Mark it, it's coming. Unless God is merciful. We are living in a time when the pace of the downward plunge of this nation is literally breathtaking. Dear friends, if we ever needed a reminder of the fact that this present evil world is indeed evil, we've had it this week. That this world is perishing, we've had it this week. If we ever needed to be reminded of the fact that we're commanded to love not this world, neither the things of this world, we certainly had that reminder this week. These things should also remind every Christian of the fact that God's law has a far greater and eternal purpose than the restraining of sin in this present evil world. And what is that purpose? Well, Galatians chapter 3 tells us. Paul says this in verse 24. He says, therefore, the law was a tutor to bring us to Christ, to show us our desperate condition, to show us our need of Christ, to show us that Christ has done what we could not do in relation to God's law. Why? Paul says, in order that we may be justified by faith. Romans 10:4, he says, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. That phrase, the end of the law, what does that mean? It literally means in the original that Christ is the end to which all things relate concerning the law of God. Christ is the end to which all things relate concerning the law of God. What do we mean by that? We mean that it is the law of God that shows us what Christ has done and why he's done it. It is the law of God that truly shows us everything that Christ has done in relation to the law. He's the one who has perfectly kept the law. First of all, even before that, he is the perfect lawgiver. It's his law. And he is the one, the only one, who has perfectly kept the law that we cannot keep. He's the one who took upon his own sinless self our violation of his law. He bore our sins in his own body on the cross. Why? Because of the law. Christ is the one who paid the penalty of God's law on our behalf. The wages of sin is death. And Christ is the one who has thus, as Paul tells us, has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He's the one who has thus given us, undeserving sinners, justification by faith before the holy God of the universe. He's the one who's made it possible for us as guilty sinners, deserving of hell, to be declared not guilty before the judgment bar of God, given the robe of Jesus' perfect law-keeping righteousness. And therefore, what does Romans 8:23 tell us? 8:33, rather. Paul declares there that no one in all the universe can bring a charge against God's elect. God, who is our condemning judge, was our condemning judge, is now our loving Father. But only because of what Christ has done in relation to the law. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. And Psalm 19, verse 7 tells us that it is the law of the Lord that is perfect, converting the soul. Converting the soul. The word of the Lord is perfect in the original, spotless and complete, just as Christ is spotless and complete. Converting or bringing back the soul. Open my eyes that I may see these things, Lord, the psalmist is praying. Now let me say a word to Christians this morning about these things. Do you understand your true position according to the word of God, according to the law of God? Do you understand that? The people who walked in darkness, Scripture tells us, have seen great light. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he, because they're spiritually discerned. But Paul goes on to say, we understand them because we have the Spirit of God. Do you understand as a Christian that you have a power of perception that the world does not have? Not a power of your own, the power of the Spirit of God, the power of the Word of God, which is alive and powerful. You have a person living within you that the world does not know. You have a book in your hands that the world cannot truly understand. And as Christians, we must resist the sinful propensity, tendency to lapse back into the effects of our former condition by neglecting God's word. Ephesians chapter 5, Paul writes this. He says, let no one, he's writing to Christians, he says, let no one deceive you with empty words, because of these things which evil men are doing, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. And where does partaking with them begin? It begins with neglecting God's word. For, Paul says, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. In John chapter 6, verse 13, Jesus declared to his disciples that the indwelling Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. And in the original language, it could also accurately be rendered as saying that the Holy Spirit will give guidance to the Christian in all aspects of the truth. In other words, God has given us his Holy Spirit so that we may apply the truth of his word to the situations that we face every day. There's no more practical help for the Christian than to be guided by the Spirit of God living within you. Ask for it. Dear friends, spend time in the Word of God. Do any of us spend enough time in the Word of God? I think we need to continually ask that question of ourselves. Are we spending enough time in prayer? Are we spending enough time asking God to guide us in the truth of His Word? To help us to understand how to apply His Word to the specific situations and challenges and problems in living that we face every day? Many of us, and I've been especially confronted with this from many different directions recently, the number of Christians, and I'm sure that there may be some here this morning who live in what we might call a mixed household, where there are believers and unbelievers living under the same roof. That's not an easy thing to do, is it? It's not an easy thing to live a spiritually separated life before the unbelieving. Maybe even a husband or a wife, the most intimate of human relationships with an unbeliever. But God gives grace through His Spirit, through His Word, to meet even that kind of a challenge. Jesus said, He, the Spirit, will guide you into all truth. What truth? The written truth, the truth of His Word. That's the sure promise of our Lord Jesus Himself. And so I would encourage you, when you open the Word of God, to pray this petition of the psalmist and pray it from the heart. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. If you're here this morning as an unbeliever, let me also say a word to you as well. Because the words of this psalm are also words that you need to pray, but in a different way. Because this is where you must begin with God, if you're an unbeliever. This is where you must begin. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things out of your law. You must realize that you're blinded, that you're in a hopeless condition apart from Him. You must come to the only one who can remedy that condition. You must come to Christ. You must ask Him to save you from your sins and from the eternal wrath that you most certainly deserve because you have violated His holy law. And only Christ can save you from that. And Christ, who will save you, if you come to Him, will send His Spirit, the author of this book, to live within you. And then you will truly see the wondrous things that God has given us that are to be found in His Word. You'll be able to read His Word as you've never read it before. It'll be a different book to you. Many people testify to that. I'm sure many of you could testify to that this morning, that this is a different book than it was before you knew Christ. You'll see God as you've never seen Him before. You'll see yourself as you've never seen yourself before. You'll see this world as you've never seen it. And you'll see the world to come as only the child of God can see it. The words that we read this morning from Isaiah are God's call to you. If you're apart from Christ this morning, to those who are fearful-hearted, the Lord says, Be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. He will come and save you if you believe. As many as received Him, to them He gave the power, the authority to be called the sons of God, even to those who believe on His name. And then what does the Lord say through Isaiah? He says, He will come and save you, and then the eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. That's God's promise. Let us pray. Our Father, This morning, we bow before Your majesty, Your holiness, Your law, Your eternal word. Oh, Father, what other resource have we in this life but this book and Your Spirit and the intercession of our Savior at Your throne? And Father, what more can we ask than these things? These things are sufficient for our every need. Christ is sufficient. His word is sufficient. His Spirit is sufficient. And not merely sufficient, but abundant. May we, Father, we who know You this morning, may we resolve to seek the opening of our eyes, the continual illumination of Your word by Your Spirit. Not only that we might see wondrous things, Father, but that we might understand them and act upon them. And Father, if there is anyone here this morning who does not know Christ, we pray for the work of Your Spirit to open those sin-blinded eyes to see the Savior. I pray these things in His name. Amen.
Here once again is Dr. Paul Elliott with some closing comments.
Dear friend, are your eyes truly open to the truth of God's Word? Are you resting in the Scriptures? Are you reading them consistently and systematically? Are you truly benefiting from your reading? I think all of us must admit that these are areas in which we need to grow and improve. And with that in mind, we are offering a free book, which I know will be helpful to you. The title of the book is Profiting from the Word by Arthur W. Pink. This book addresses two crucial questions. How much do you gain from your reading of the Scriptures? And how can you learn to profit more from God's Word? If you would like to receive a free copy of this book, simply tell us that you would like the book called Profiting from the Word. We're sending this book to anyone who requests it anywhere in the world, free and postage paid while supplies last. Listeners in North America can call us toll-free at any time at 888-804-9655. Listeners anywhere in the world can write to us at Box 2533, Westminster, Maryland, 21158, USA. Or you can use the contact page on our website, teachingtheword.org. Once again, our phone number for listeners in North America is 888-804-9655. Our mailing address worldwide is Box 2533, Westminster, Maryland, 21158, USA. And our website is teachingtheword.org. And don't forget to tell us that you would like to receive a free copy of the book titled Profiting from the Word. And while you are visiting our website, we invite you to explore our Bible knowledge base, which contains thousands of pages of free Bible teaching materials organized by subject. All of the Bible knowledge base materials are available free for you to view online or download for further study. The entire Bible knowledge base is searchable by any word or phrase. Readers and listeners view and download millions of pages of material from the Bible Knowledge Base each month, and we hope that you will be among them. Once again, that's the Bible Knowledge Base at our website, teachingtheword.org. And when you contact us, also request a free copy of our Bible Reading Kit, which we will be glad to send you, also free and postage paid. That's the Bible Reading Kit from Teaching the Word Ministries. Thank you for listening today. We look forward to being with you once again on our next program. Until then, may God richly bless your personal study of His inspired, infallible, inerrant Word.
This weekly program, The Scripture-Driven Church, is brought to you by the faithful friends and supporters of Teaching the Word Ministries.